everybody. Welcome to the show. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Danielle Johnson. On the show today, we have John Spurr, who is the CEO of Inspired Life Mortgage. We thought we'd go down the path of trying to help people a little bit more and see if we can help as many people as we can. What do you think, John?
I like that idea.
Okay. Let's talk about credit repair.
And never mind.
We're done.
Show's over. We have 40 minutes of silence now.
Oh, credit repair. One of my favorite topics. I talk to, probably 10 to 15 people a week about where their credit's at and what we can do to help them or change it. And the first thing I want to say is I am not a licensed credit repair person or agency or company that is actually a thing. And in Arizona, you do have to have a license. But okay. I've done this for 30 plus years. And I understand credit and how it works. And I can definitely give guidance on if you do this, 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 and this. Now, the credit agency that I pull credit reports from, they are also a credit repair company. And they do offer things like Wayfinder or a what-if simulator, which allow us to look at the credit report and go, if you pay this balance down this much, this is how much your score will go up. If you pay off this collection, this is how much your score will go up. So we have the same tools that a credit repair agency would have without the expense of a credit repair agency.
When we listen about that, it sounds like some really good news. The main thing is that it's all individually focused. You know, we always talk about on this show about cookie cutter stuff, and we want to make sure that everybody understands that every single one person you're dealing with, you're even dealing with them individually about their credit, about how you help them.
Well, I'm going to bring up Sandra's favorite thing, one size fits all. We've had this conversation before.
Yes, the biggest lie of the universe, one size fits all.
So the mortgage industry in general would like you to believe that one size fits all when it comes to mortgage, because there's more volume than there is bandwidth to get mortgages done. And that's why we've gone so automated and you try to do as many things online as possible. Mm-hmm. The truth is there's no such thing as one size fits all in mortgage, or I share Sandra's belief in anything. And so when we talk to individuals or we look at their credit and see things that could be, we'll just call it fixed or repaired, whatever word you want to use. We give suggestions and we explain what the outcomes are going to be or should be and how we're going to get there and then how long it's going to take.
I just wrote that down, timeline, that there a timeline.
And that varies. I mean, I have a person right now that has one credit card that is maxed out and his credit score is 611. If we pay that credit card down to $1,500. I don't have to pay it off. Just pay the balance down to $1,500. Within a few days, I can have his credit score of 720.
Wow.
Everybody in this room knows that there's a huge difference when it comes to mortgage lending on a 720 versus a 611 score. I have a gentleman that called in off of this show and months ago. His credit score is where it's at, not because of his doing. Somebody else, another entity, didn't apply payments correctly. We're in month four of trying to get this fixed because we're now dealing with a third party who believes they applied a payment correctly. We have proof that they didn't apply it correctly. And so now it's a whole different set of circumstances of how long. So it's going to vary from person to person.
What amazes me is that you're willing to work with you're willing to work with all these individuals and taking the time, because it's not a quick fix. Most of these things aren't quick fixes. You just said 4 months, 5 months. You're just sitting there waiting with these people to make sure that this thing goes correctly, the process goes correctly.
Well, one of the big reasons I went out on my own is because I worked for all of the big box lenders for a very long time and for many years. And it was all about pushing volume through the system. It wasn't about an individual transaction. It wasn't about the individual themselves. Like, you got to close X amount of loans a month. And if you don't close X amount of loans a month, this is what's going to happen. And that's just not who I am. I would rather work with somebody and say, hey, if we do this, this, and this over the next 90 days, your payment could be $200 a month less. Let's aim for this instead of getting you in a house right now, because there are simple little things we can do to improve your credit situation.
I'm still thinking about this 611 up to a 720. That is a huge jump. And if that can happen in a few days, my question is, in that kind of a situation where it can jump so quickly from just one thing, Why is that? Is it because of the debt to income ratio being less? Is it because there aren't a lot of things? It's one. I mean, what are the things that can make such a huge jump so quickly?
I am not going to sit here and try to pretend that I understand exactly how credit scoring works. There is nothing else negative on this individual's credit report ever in his history. Nothing. Not a missed payment, not a collection account, nothing. Has a single credit card that is maxed out.
And that's the key right there, is that all it's of the credit out. That he has or she has is maxed out.
Yeah. The revolving credit available. And so credit scoring is just a logarithm that somebody has created, and these computers look and they are comparing you against your peers, okay? So, and they're doing this by, all right, this person has a mortgage, two car loans, two credit cards, and a student loan. Now, I'm going to find everybody else in the U.S. that mirrors that.
Right.
And then we're going to start coming up with the averages. Okay, we've got 15% that are horrible at paying their bills. We have 50% in the middle that are okay. And then we've got, you know, whatever number on the top end, 35% that are really good at paying their bills. And then we're going to score everybody based against their peers. And in this process, typically people that have all of their credit maxed out are on the edge of some sort of problem or issue. And especially today, with credit card rates going through the roof and payments going through the roof, there's been a lot of missed payments on people that have large amounts of credit card debt. So now, if you have a credit card or two maxed out, that's going to have a big effect on your score, because the rest of the country has credit cards that are maxed out and they're starting to miss those payments. So you're getting compared against your peers, even though that may not be how you handle things.
Okay.
Whole idea of car insurance, right? We all pay in. And then we're paying in for the people that get into accidents. Right. We're not paying in because we have a great driving record.
Right.
So just to, I guess, expand on that, I have no idea who your client is or what their balances are, but if someone in that situation had, well, I'll just say $3,000 worth of credit card debt, but their limit is $3,000. If they had three individual cards that had $1,000 on them, that's going to be looked at differently than having one card that's maxed out at the $3,000.
It's aggregate, so it doesn't matter. If you have one card with a $3,000 balance and a $3,000 limit, or you have three cards that are $1,000 each, they're looking at the aggregate. So when you look at a credit report, it'll show you unsecured debt, and then it'll show you available lines of credit. Mm-hmm. And that's what the system's looking at. It's not looking at, oh, the Home Depot card only has $500 on it and the limit is $2,000. And this one is $7,000, has $7,000 on it. They're looking at the aggregate.
Okay. I think I've heard before you're supposed to keep the amount of credit that you're using under a certain percentage. Is there a magic number, or is it just dependent on the person?
There's a lot of opinions and theories out there. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to the 30%, because I know if you're at 30% or less, I see it every day, we have good scores. A lot of people say 50%. I like to err and be cautious. I say 30%.
Hi, everybody. We're heading to the break right now. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show on 1030 AM KBOI, The Voice. We're here with John Spurr. We'll be talking a little bit more about credit repair and see how we can help you help yourself to get into your own home. See you on the other side. Sorry, Danielle. Welcome back to the show. We're here with John Spurr, who is the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage here in Tucson. It is a local company. How long have you been in business?
I've been doing mortgage for 31 years. Inspired Life, we're in our fifth year of being on my own.
So we were talking about credit repair and this number of 30%, trying to keep the amount of credit that you are using to about 30% of what's available. And that some say 50, but being conservative, it's better to say possibly 30%. So if you're sitting where you've got accounts that you are using more than that 30% and you want to try to increase the amount of credit you have, I've heard that a good way to do that is to go in and try and increase your limits. What does that look like compared to going out and opening a brand new credit card or some new line of credit?
I would always suggest, if you can get an increase from current creditors, get an increase from current creditors. Going and shopping for credit tends to be a negative at first towards your credit score, especially having a lot of what they call inquiries, somebody looking into your credit, it can indicate a sense of urgency in your life of where you need to borrow money. And so these logarithms factor that into, okay, what's going on in their life that they got to get this money? Why have they had so many inquiries done? Versus using the creditors that you already have and going to them and saying, hey, I'd like to apply for a credit line increase. And I've had this card for 2 years. I've never missed a payment. You guys haven't given me any increase. And a lot of times you can just go online and do it. I know that the two banks that I have credit cards with, you can log in. There's a little button you click on, apply for credit increase. And a lot of time the computer just gives it to you there on the spot.
Yeah.
So that's a good way if you're looking for a way to increase that capacity to improve your credit score. That is something that you can do. What I caution about is don't do this as a form to, oh, now I have more credit, I can go out and use it.
Right, right.
So if you have your cards currently maxed out and you know that you're going to keep them maxed out, don't do it. Don't get more
like
in debt.
Advice.
What about closing accounts? You know, sometimes people think that if I have too many accounts that are open, that that's going to count against me. And so they go and close a bunch of accounts. How does that affect you?
It definitely could have a negative impact. I've seen it had a negative impact, especially when you're closing out a revolving account, like a credit card, that has a zero balance and you still have balances on other credit cards. Because now that aggregate that we were talking about, the aggregate balance has gone down, but the what you owe stayed the same. So, you know, we changed the numerator instead of the denominator. So that percentage goes up significantly faster. So there's no harm in having these accounts open. It's if you use them and don't pay them that creates the harm. I have a bunch of credit cards I don't use. I don't close them out. If they send me a little notice that they're going to cancel them if I don't use it, I'll go put a tank of gas on it and I'll pay it off just so it's I keep it. But I don't ever have a good reason to say go close a revolving account unless you just are that person that doesn't have the control to not use them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to close them in my mind.
What about the differences between secured and unsecured debt on your credit?
A secured debt is going, when you take out immediately secured debt, and let's go backwards, secured debt is going to be an auto loan, an RV loan, a motorcycle, a boat. You physically purchased an asset that they put a lien against is going to be secured debt. I don't throw a house in there because that's its own category and that's real estate. But we're talking most times secured debt is going to be some sort of vehicle or RV or something along those lines. The initial reaction to credit score as soon as you go out and buy a new vehicle is it dips a little. After you've paid a couple payments on it and they see, oh, they can handle this new debt, they're making the payments, it comes right back up, maybe even gets a little better. Secured debt is definitely looked at differently because the risk isn't as great if you stop paying. Because if you stop paying on your car, a tow truck comes up in the middle of the night and drives away with your car, and then the bank goes and sells it for the balance, right? It's called repossession. Now, that repossession is definitely going to damage your credit. But the risk level isn't as high as to somebody that goes and puts $10,000 on a credit card, that $10,000 isn't secured against anything. It's secured against the fact that most people are good and they're just going to pay that bill, right?
It sounds like that with the secured debt, they can possibly get their money back. With unsecured debt, you give $10,000, they're not going to get their $10,000 back if you don't pay it.
Oh, they can. It's just a very long process through the courts and garnishing wages. And I mean, there's a whole process for these banks to go try to get their money back on unsecured debt. It's just expensive and a long process for them.
I was going to ask, if someone has they let the utility bills go beyond their due date, is that going to impact their credit?
So there's this thing that's been going around the internet of these people that say, oh, here's a great way to improve your credit, self-report utilities, which is amazing until you self-report utilities that you've been paying late. Utilities are not part of your credit report. They're not required to be part of your credit report. Now, you can do what's called self-reporting, and every month when you get your utility bill, you scan it and you send it into the three credit bureaus, and then they put it on your credit, and yes, that is a form of helping build credit until, as you said, you make a late payment on your utility bill. If you have late payments on your utility bills and you're not sending it to the credit bureau, the credit bureaus are not going to know, and it's not going to affect your credit score. unless you allow it to go to a point where it gets shut off and it goes to a collections agency, and then the collection agency is reporting it.
What about HOAs? Are they doing any reporting if you end up with, you know, huge fines because you haven't, I don't know, brought your trash can in or pulled your weeds for a while?
Your weeds, painted your eaves, your dog's barking too much. You know. General rule is if you owe somebody money, if it's an HOA, if it's a utility, if it's your cell phone bill, auto insurance, whatever monthly bills you have that you're paying, if you don't pay it, at some point it's going to turn into a collection, a charge off, or a judgment. And once it reaches that stage, in some form or fashion, is going to show up on your credit report and have a negative impact. HOAs do not report unless you're not paying. And they have to send you to collections before it's typically going to show up on your credit report.
And I'm going to say those memberships, whether it's, you know, to a gym or something that you wanted to cancel, and they have cancellation policies that are not easy to work with. If you stop paying, they'll send you to collections as well.
I talked to a gentleman 2 days ago. He has a great long story. The one thing that's keeping us from being able to do anything for him right now is he owns his own business, and he provides cell phones for all his employees, and they changed their plan from XYZ carrier to ABC. They owed on every single cell phone with XYZ carrier. We pull his credit report, and there is a $3,000 collection account from that carrier. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he owed on the cell phones. 2 months ago, before he changed cell phone companies, he bought a truck and his credit score was 780. His credit score is now 560.
Wow.
So, and this is just how it works. If you borrow the money or you sign a contract, you owe it. And then there's things in place that allow them to place those collections if you don't pay it.
And I'm going to guess that the dollar amount is not as important as the time factor.
Yes, it's fresh, so it has a huge ding on your credit score.
We'd like to thank everybody for staying with us. We are here to discuss more interesting topics about credit repairs with John Spurr, who is the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage. We'll talk to you after the break. Thanks. We're back from the break, and we're here with John Spurr, who is the CEO of Inspired Life Mortgage. We're talking about the credit repair, and I think it's a great topic because we're trying to help people understand how the credit system works as we see it, and trying to give them ways to help themselves.
Yeah, I'm jumping in here. I know Danielle has a question, but when you're working with a buyer, and you know that they're not that far from being able to qualify, they're just afraid of the answers that they're going to get. Yeah. It's really tough in our industry. And so we're always encouraging people to call John and talk to him, because until you ask the question, you don't know what your position is. And that's the first step.
No, I agree. And I mean, I don't bite, and most loan officers don't bite.
But let's face it, people are uncomfortable talking about their finances with a complete stranger, or even, I mean, worse if it is somebody you know.
Well, and I come across that a lot, and I tell them, like, look, I'm like an attorney, I'm like a doctor. What you and I talk about stays with you and I. I'm not sharing it with anybody else. I don't have those conversations with anybody else, and I've done this for a very long time. I understand that talking about your financial situation or credit is uncomfortable. Maybe there's something you're embarrassed about. Maybe you feel like I'm going to judge you because, oh, you only make this much money, or you only have that much money in savings, or your credit score says. It's not about that for me. And in general, for most loan officers, that's not what it's about. We truly want to completely understand your current situation. And then how do we get you where you want to be? And can we get you where you want to be? A lot of times what you want and where you're at, there is no path or road or bridge. It just doesn't exist. So then we have to show you what we can do. But it's not, I mean, everybody you guys have ever sent to me or talked to, it's not an unpleasant, scary process. It's literally a lot of questions, understanding where you are, and then coming up with options.
It's empowering your clients so they can take control of their future.
Most of my loan applications is an education in mortgage, and periodically I throw out a question that I need to fill in on the application, and by the time we're at the end of the conversation, the application's done and you don't even know that you did it.
That's awesome.
You know, I have talked to some people who their credit is really low, or who have had, you know, things that have complicated their credit situation. Maybe they have not a lot of income, and so they haven't wanted a credit card. You know, there's a lot of reasons that someone would be trying to build credit. And, you know, there is this option of a secured credit card. Could you talk to us a little bit about what that is and why that might be a good thing for someone who's needing to start building credit?
Absolutely. And I just want to mention again, I am not a credit repair agency. I'm not a licensed credit repair person or credit counseling. I have over 30 years of experience doing this, and I understand how the process works. What,
how do we get a hold of you?
InspiredLifeMortgage.com, or call me on my cell phone at 520-247-3610.
Secure loans. Secure credit cards.
The credit card. Secure credit card. It is a great way to rebuild your credit. It's a great way to help your kids when they turn 18 establish credit. Most credit unions I know of do it. I know there's a lot of online companies that will do it. I think a lot of the banks do it also, but it's a simple concept. You had mentioned at the break, I think yours was $2,000, but I know the goal is as little as $300, because we just did this for my daughter's boyfriend who has no credit, wants to buy a car. Went in, opened up a bank account for him. We put $300 in it. They sent him a credit card with a $300 limit. And so there is money there in the bank. If he decides to not pay, they're just going to take it out of the $300 that we put in the account. From the standpoint of it reporting to credit, the credit bureau doesn't know that it's a secured credit card. The logarithms don't know that it's a secured credit card. It reads and acts and functions just like a regular credit card. And so it starts establishing that credit. Or a great way to repair credit if you've had issues in the past and you want to get a credit card again. Yes, it means you have to have some cash to set aside, but it's a great way to start reestablishing.
So we had kind of talked on the break too, if you were to add a child or a relative to your credit card, they can inherit that history, your credit history on that card.
Yeah, it's called an authorized user. I did this for all three of my daughters. I actually also gave them a card. Buyer beware, if you do that, you better be ready to pay for your kid's bill when they go use it. I told all of them to keep it to $500 a month. I don't think any of them have successfully done that yet. But it's an authorized user, and if you add them to your credit card, that is then going to report on their credit report as payment history, and is going to help or impact them negatively if you don't pay the bill or run that balance up to the maximum. But it's going to help, it's going to reflect on their credit and going to affect their credit score. So same principles apply. If you have a $10,000 limit and you run it up to 10 grand, that's going to have a negative impact on whoever is an authorized user on that card, on their credit. Now, if you have a $10,000 limit and you keep it around $2,500, you make that payment on time every month, they're going to reap the benefits of what that card does for your credit, for their credit.
When the credit card that you authorized them to use, when you decide to not authorize them anymore, do they still have that credit history attached to them?
So when you remove them as an authorized user, that comes off, and that credit, that is no longer there. It's no longer part of their credit history.
Okay.
But at that point, they've already established other things. Like my one daughter now has two mortgages, two auto loans, her own credit card, and she's super well established. My middle one has a mortgage, an auto loan, and the credit card. She's super well established. So right now, the only authorized user I have is my youngest, who's up in Phoenix in college, and we're just trying to, you know, she just turned 19. We're just trying to get her credit established.
Okay.
You're a good dad.
I try.
No, seriously. I mean, I think a lot of parents without having a history in finance may not know to set their kids up. I accidentally or inadvertently set my kids up by opening a savings account that had a debit card. And so they had great credit when they were very young. That wasn't necessarily my goal. It just happened to be that's the way that account worked. And so they both started life with really good credit.
And I did this. I've done this my entire life, and so everything I did with my girls was intentional. I mean, my oldest is, what is she, 27 now, and she had her first house at 19. You know, my middle, just today's her birthday, and she had her first house at 18. And it's because I did these things on purpose to get them set up and ready to go.
Everybody's afraid to sit back after that great information. I'm afraid to talk because he sounds like such a great dad.
No, I kind of want to go maybe outside of your area of expertise a little bit. And if you can't answer the question, then that's okay. Matter of fact, Danielle's pointing at the timer. We'll get to that after we go on a commercial break.
You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray, Sandra, and Danielle on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. We're back for the last segment of the show. You're here with Ray Smith, Sandra Johnson, and Danielle Johnson of the Johnson Smith team at Indy Realty. We're here with John Spurr, the CEO of Inspired Life Mortgage. And I want to ask you a question about types of credit cards, if I could, John. Having a bank credit card over having a credit card from a store, is one better or worse than the other?
They're all going to have the same impact on your credit.
Okay.
If you pay them on time, it's a good rating. If you don't pay them on time, it's a bad rating. One thing to point out about store credit cards, for the most part, they're all using the same entity now, but that's a third party to do those store credit cards. And so when we pull your credit report, we see 10 accounts. All with this, they all have the name of the same lender, and then they get a little code on the end, and I have to decipher that code. You know, what is JCP stand for? You know, JCPenney's. So try to figure out what they are. But it's not going to, there's not one that's better than the other, especially if you're paying them on time.
When a kid comes to you, kids come to you and asking for you to help repair their credit, are there steps that you already have in your mind before you meet them, or you have to, is it all individually ascertained?
Everybody's situation is so unique. It's a matter of having a conversation with them, find out what got them into that situation, why they're in that situation, pull the credit. We typically do a soft pull so it doesn't show up that we pulled their credit and it doesn't affect their credit score, and then start running through each of the accounts. Sometimes there's an event that happened that put them in that situation, and it gives us a little more leeway when it comes time to get them approved for a mortgage. Sometimes it's just, you know, we're young and they gave us a bunch of credit cards and we spent and we didn't pay them back.
When you go to college, that's like the first thing that happens, right? You start getting credit card offers sent to you.
What about with medical bills?
Oh, good old medical bills. There's a piece of legislation that I haven't completely familiarized myself with, but my understanding is that they are reporting as a collection, but they're no longer factoring into their credit score. And it's something that I need to understand a little bit better. And this is something that's very recent. The one thing I will say on the medical bill piece, and I hear this all the time, well, the insurance was supposed to cover it. Well, they cover everything but that little copay of yours. And 95% of the time when I look into these things on a collection, it was their $200 copay or their 20% that they have to pay because they went into the emergency room or urgent care or whatnot. And fighting them is almost useless. So just remember, if you're using your medical insurance and you're going in for something, you probably have some sort of copay. And if they didn't collect it, you know, call them. Hey, do I owe you something? Because they're really bad about calling you. I've had this experience myself. Next thing I know, I got a collection account for $25. I'm like, really? You couldn't pick up the phone and say, hey, can you pay the $25?
Yeah, I think Danielle experienced that when she was in a car accident. I don't know if you remember heading to the emergency room and they're like, yeah, but you owe us some money because something hadn't gotten covered.
Recently.
And you didn't even get a bill. That was the crazy thing. You didn't get a bill, but when you need help, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, you owe us money.
Well, just recently, I got a medical bill from 2 years ago. I have no idea what it was for. I called and I asked them. They have no idea what it was for, but you owe the money. I mean, I still don't know what it's for.
and I, because I'm a business owner, I have like the worst health insurance on the face of the planet. And somehow that's just how it works.
Ray, he comes with good insurance.
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
you have to wait it out.
I love Ray, but he's not my type. So, but I there's certain things I go to the doctor for. And I had gone last year. And they said, okay, well, we're going to bill your insurance. Like, my insurance sucks. They're not going to... Well, we have to bill them first, and then we'll send you whatever you owe. 6 months later, I get a thing in the mail, and it's not even from the doctor's office. It's from a collection agency. Then I get a phone call from my ex-wife going, so-and-so is calling me, trying to collect on your debt. Well, because I had seen this doctor 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever it was, when I was married to my ex... They didn't ask me for a new address or ask me for anything updated. They used the old address. They mailed the bill to the old address.
Oh, no. So are those easier to get taken off your credit if it is medical? Are they easier to fight? Or you said they're not...
There is trying to do it yourself. There's nothing easy about getting anything off of your credit because there are particular steps in a certain order that you need to do that are going to get you the right results. And the first thing is we get all the documentation on the front end. We document first and then we take it to the credit bureaus. If you just go online to the credit bureaus, I'm going to dispute this, and you put in not my medical bill because I have insurance, within 48 hours, they're going to come back and say, ha ha, you still owe it. We have to document it. We got to get proof and prove that it's not yours. Then we upload it into the system.
Maybe that's another thing that we could talk about is watching your credit report. And you're entitled to request that.
There are a lot of different online companies that you can sign up for. I have one that I'm signed up for, and you can go and check your credit as much as you want. You're entitled to one free report a year if you go to the bureaus. A lot of the credit card companies now will throw your credit score. This is your credit score up in the corner of your credit card bill. Because of the nature of what I do and my credit gets pulled frequently because I'm considered a financial institution, I look at mine very often because a little blip in my credit score can cost me thousands of dollars on my bond renewals or something else. I would say at least twice a year, look at it. As quickly as your credit can get messed up, look at it every month. It's not that difficult if you sign up for these different services that are not really that expensive when you look at the fact that you can go and check your credit whenever, and they send you alerts when something changes or somebody used your credit.
Yes.
Yeah, I think my bank updates me monthly on whether my credit's going up or down or if there's a change.
Yeah.
A lot of banks, I think, are doing that now.
Yeah, blipping your credit can cost you, like you just said, $200 a month on your mortgage if you just would have paid attention to it. And if it happens immediately and you find that blip, it's easier to get it resolved because all the information is right there. Hey, I didn't do this. Here's all the things. I was here. You know all this stuff. It's 2 years from now. You can't remember what happened 2 years ago.
I mean, back in March, they nailed me with a 30-day late on a credit card because there was a $2 balance after I had paid what I thought was the full balance. And it took a little bit of me arguing with them, but because I check my credit regularly, I saw it. But I went from a 740 to a 611 in 1 day.
Over $2.
Over $2. I got them. They removed it. They took care of it. I'm a good customer. I pay everything on time. It was fine. It was taken care of. $2.
Why can't they call?
You know, let's talk about that $2 too, because I know credit changes all the time. So what was true 10 years ago may not be true today. But I don't carry balances on credit cards. But you had a situation where we needed a notary. And it was $2, I think, at the bank. And not having cash, used a credit card. So that $2 is the last thing that would ever get paid off on that card because it carries a higher interest rate. Is that still true today?
Well, they always pay the interest first before they pay the principal, whatever payment you make. So maybe where rates are today, but not that a $2 balance, your interest would be more than $2. But if you had
just on the cash advance, I guess.
Yeah. So there's a cash advance fee and there's interest immediately. So you could exceed that $2 instantaneously. So in your mind, I charge $2. 2 days later, you go online, you transfer the $2, you forget about it. Except there was a $30 cash advance fee, and they started charging interest immediately. And all of a sudden, that $2 turned into $34, and you don't know it. You paid the $2, you forget about it. Phone rings, you ignore it because, like, I'm not talking to whoever this is. And next thing you know, you got a 30-day late. And so it's very important. If you're not a heavy credit user and you carry zero balances and you use a credit card, pull it up online. Look at that balance. Pay whatever the minimum, whatever the total balance due for the last statement was. And if you don't agree with it, then go back and argue with them. Pay it first, then argue.
You know, I set a recurring payment on mine just in case I forget, because sometimes I do forget I charge something, so that it always pays the minimum balance and I'm notified immediately that it's paid the balance.
Yeah, no, and that's a great way to deal with it. And I want to go back and say one thing. There's a lot of people that are principle of the matter, and you guys know me. I am the principle of the matter, but I'm telling you, when it comes to your creditors, pay whatever payment they want, protect your credit, then go argue with them. I cannot tell you the number of people like, well, I didn't owe that, and they were wrong, and da-da-da, and so I didn't pay it. And guess what? They're right. That creditor was wrong, and they were charging them incorrectly. But they still didn't make the payment, and that is a missed payment. And there's no way to get that missed payment off because you chose the principle of the matter and you didn't pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Pay what they ask, go back and argue.
That's all great. Thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your expertise and the years of experience that you've brought in.
How to get a hold of
you. Yeah.
So how to get a hold of you.
Raymond wants to know, how do we get a hold of you?
The website is inspiredlifemortgage.com, or you can call me on my cell phone at 520-247-3610.
And we are here to help with your real estate needs, and that's why we're such a fan of working with John, because we know that the first step is to get you pre-qualified for a loan before we go out and shop. Danielle, Ray, myself, we all love to work with buyers. We love sellers. If there's anything that we can do, you can call us. You can email us at johnsonsmith@indie-realty.com. Call myself at 520-850-1725. Raymond at 520-904-7711, or Danielle at 520-373-6864. And we also want to take this time to thank all of our sponsors: Pioneer Title Agency, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, and Power, that's P-O-W-U-R, Solar. And if you use them, let them know that you heard about them on the radio show, and we will catch you next week.
Call us for a free home valuation.